Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ha! Not just being a curmudgeon. Well, I'm being a curmudgeon, but not just. This is Wretched Radio, bringing you the latest in celebrity-tainment info, news or something. And then we put a Bible verse on it, laugh really loud, and call it typical Christian morning radio. Hi-yo! This is Wretched Radio. What is that phenomenon? Why is it when people are on TV, they do radio, they laugh about 20 times more than they need to? Is it nerves? What is that? Almost, not everybody, but almost everybody does that. Like even like it's an interview of a football coach and somebody says something moderately amusing and everybody busts a gut. I'm not there. Maybe that'll be in the DSM-6 because that's going to be coming out pretty soon too, just to demonstrate, while sure, I might be a curmudgeon. I'm not just a curmudgeon and I'm not alone in my curmudgeonliness. If you go back to 19, when Ben-Hur came out, you remember the Charlton Heston movie. There was a story about a guy named Ben. Thanks, Friel, for the synopsis on the show. Yeah, it was a guy named Ben, and Jesus was in the movie, but you never saw him. Why? Because the people who made that film, they did not want to be guilty of idolatry. They believed that any image of anything of that nature would be considered a violation of thou shalt not commit idolatry. You should not make a graven image. They felt that that would be crossing that line. And they certainly didn't put words into the mouth of the Savior. Why? Because they were curmudgeons, maybe. Or they simply felt that to put words into the mouth of God, into the mouth of Bible characters, would be to add revelation and to confuse people and to be speaking as if we were pretty sure God would have said this. Or that Sarah would have thought like this. If God had wanted us to know those things, he would have revealed those things. And while this illustration isn't perfect, I can't imagine any one of us would be thrilled that if in, say, 100 years, somebody decided to make a movie or a TV series about you, that you'd be thrilled if they put words into your mouth and then simply said, well, we're using some imagination, but we're letting everybody know that, so it's okay. You wouldn't feel that way. You would want only what you actually said or did represented, ditto, I think, with the Bible. If we were meant to understand or to feel the feels of women in the book of Genesis, God would have revealed that to us, but he didn't. And so it is, we have another movie that is coming out that it intends to do what is so trendy these days, and that is to make some sort of Bible TV show, some sort of Bible series, and ask for artistic license permission. Hey, we're just making TV here. The series in question is The Faithful, centered on biblical women, takes on Genesis. That's the headline from the Christian Post. It's a Fox series. Limited run Fox series? Sure. And like, okay, I see, I get it. So if it were like in syndicate, it would be like a sitcom on Wednesday nights. So this is just like one of those 6 or 8 episode deals that retells Genesis through 5 women. Now, there's the problem right there. It retells Genesis right there. It's baked into it. It's retelling. We don't have permission to retell. We tell what is in there. By the way, I was thinking about Genesis, and it dawned on me. In fact, just this morning, I was thinking about the book of Genesis and how brilliant it is. What are if you had to boil down, what are the big fundamental questions that a human being starting place? What would be the questions that we'd want answered? All right, I think here it is. How did we get here? Why do we die? Why do we see good stuff and why do we see bad stuff? It's like that's like the big stuff. I mean, not other issues that I think Genesis answers, like justice. I think that Genesis answers all kinds of questions about languages and nations. All really good to know, and I'm glad those answers are in Genesis. Uh-oh, I hope I don't get a fine from that organization up there in Kentucky. But the bigger questions are those issues that are fundamental toward our existence. How did this all get here in the beginning? Why do we die? Don't eat of that fruit. And they did. It explains everything to us fundamentally. And if we're going to be faithful to presenting the Bible to people, we have to do it the way the author intended it. If Moses and God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wanted us to know what five women thought in the book of Genesis, they would have shared those thoughts. But when you take the premise that we're going to retell Genesis, well, I mean, that would be like me saying, all right, I'm gonna retell the story of Elvis. Now I'm just gonna do it through the people that never had really had their thoughts or words recorded. But I'm gonna imagine what it must have been like for them and then present that. You'd be, well, you're just making stuff up. Exactly. Furthermore, the audience that watches it, it's so easy to get confused. Is that what happened? That goes into the memory file. It doesn't just disappear when the movie is done. You actually have it in your brain. Is that what Sarah? Oh, is that what it was about? And so I think that this concept of retelling a Bible story is just fraught with dangers. And this is from, again, the Christian Post talking about a new faithful series taking on Genesis. In the first installment, Sarah's story becomes, quote, a journey of faith, while Hagar's becomes a journey of freedom, tied together by the theme of surrogacy. Well, was it that? Yes, but more than that, it was a story of disobedience. It was a story of sin. We think of surrogacy today through the scientific process, taking this to match with that and putting it there. That's not what happened in the book of Genesis. Quote, it's a fairly modern story about a pledge, a deal between two women about a child. Now, the individual who is producing this claims to be a Christian, cool, said the writers adopted a rule. When scripture states something plainly, it becomes the non-negotiable roadmap. I agree with that. The problem is what's coming afterwards. What the Bible says is the roadmap. That's it. That's the roadmap, period. And you don't get to draw new lines on the map. You don't get to add details that aren't there. But then the individual continues, when it doesn't, television requires some creative liberties, but not contradiction. Well, how do you know? How do you know? You don't know. You don't know. It can be a vivid imagination, but it is just that. If it is expressly stated in the Bible, that is our roadmap. Where it is not, we obviously have to imagine it a bit. That is television. You don't have to put it on television. You don't have permission to add to the biblical narrative. If God wanted us to know this, you would have known it. But you can rest assured, everything, Jimmy, it's going to be fine, though. I'm pretty sure their imaginations are fine because they did have some theologians consulting on the film. Yeah.
Oh.
Rabbi Wendy, she's a professor whose scholarship includes biblical women's studies. I'm sure that's fine. And Russell Moore from Christianity Today. So it should be, really, it should be just fine. Now, to demonstrate, I'm not just a curmudgeon. I'm not familiar with Sight and Sound. It's an organization that apparently makes a lot of films, Christian. They have 800 employees. How, Jimmy, have you ever heard of Sight and Sound? Who are these people?
I don't think so.
I saw the movie trailer for a film that's called The Great Awakening. It is the story. It is actually based in reality between George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin, the open air preacher and the politician. They were pals of sorts. And this movie seeks to present their story. And based on what I'm reading, it looks like it could be okay. But I'm actually okay with the telling of this kind of story. Why? Because it's not the Bible. Now, you want to try to be as historically accurate as you can possibly be when you make some sort of biopic film. But I say, carry on. Make a film about Whitefield. Make a film about Benjamin Franklin. Go ahead, if you will. You can put words in their mouth. I'm sure they would not necessarily appreciate it, especially if it's not accurate. And while I might not even prefer that sort of storytelling and that sort of treatment of history, carry on putting words into the mouth of Bible characters, putting words into the mouth of Jesus, totally different. So there, I'm looking forward to seeing a film called The Great Awakening. Why? Because it doesn't cross the line and I'm not a curmudgeon. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, you can't judge me. It's the verse people quote when they don't want to be corrected, even people who've never opened a Bible. But here's the question. Is that actually what Scripture teaches? Or have we been misreading one of the most misunderstood commands in the entire Bible? Thou Shalt Judge is a 13-lesson series with Todd Friel and Justin Peters that sets the record straight. Streaming free on Fortis Plus right now. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. All four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. FortisPlus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving, or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together, or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. And it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Cyprian was a 3rd century theologian from Carthage, North Africa, where he served as bishop until he was beheaded under Emperor Valerian. Cyprian authored a book called On the Unity of the Church, stressing the unity of the universal church as well as the importance and authority of the local church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Two, there are two things we can know for sure. This is Wretched Radio. When I say know for sure, I don't mean about all things. I mean, just in regard to a new film that's coming out called The Great Awakening, the story of George Whitefield, the open-air preacher with a booming voice, rather theatrical in his presentation, and Benjamin Franklin. Yep, they were contemporaries. Yep, they were pals. Benjamin Franklin printed his sermons. Did you know that? And so they had a relationship. Exactly the details, we don't know all of them. And so a movie is going to be made about that relationship. And I think that there's two things we can know about this film. Number one, as curious as I am to see the presentation, particularly of Whitefield, it's not going to be as good as the Elvis movie that just came out. We know that for sure, don't we? Jimmy, I went to see the Elvis movie.
I heard. How was it?
Loud. It was really loud. That's what it was.
Well, they kind of figured the age of the clientele coming.
Well, we needed it, didn't we?
That's right.
Here's what I think it was, to be honest. I think it is because it was the quality of the sound and the mixing of the sound, I think, was maybe the first time it actually represented what it might have been like to be in an Elvis concert from, what, 40, 50 years ago?
Right.
He had a massive band. He had like a 30, 40-piece orchestra, violins and trombones, you know, plus the band, plus about a dozen singers. It was like a big show. And it was, so when that music, it was like, oh, man, blow your hair back, Scylla. And it was just, if you're into editing at all, into video production, you should go watch it because, wow, the editing. There were at least six, maybe eight times where I was like, oh, dude, that edit. Oh, man, that was clever stuff. In fact, more than that, it was really excellent editing. The sound was big and it was kind of sweaty is what it was because, wow, that man, he could shed some sweat when he was performing. So we can know that the Great Awakening movie ain't going to be that good. But we can also know that I do not envy the individual who tried to put this movie together. Because I think it is like a microcosm of what we're all currently trying to put together. The current conversation that I think is still alive and well, maybe not healthy, but it's alive and well in evangelical circles, is relationship between church and state. And this movie, I think, is trying to weave that. And what is the relationship between Christianity and our country? I don't think there's any denying the influence of Protestant Christianity. But are they going to try to make statements about what it should be like today and what the relationship is between church and state? I don't know. So far, what I'm reading about the movie is actually encouraging. The individual who is the guru of Sight and Sound, he's the CEO in this rather lengthy treatment of the movie. He seems to be finding the right side of the line. Quote, Whitefield delivers a line that encapsulates the CEO's understanding of biblical liberty, because they're going to be talking about liberty in the movie. It's Revolutionary War time. Quote, blood will be shed for the liberty you're talking about, said Whitefield. But blood was already shed for the liberty. So in other words, he's trying to focus on the gospel. The biblical definition of liberty, said the CEO, is that blood was already shed for us. Freedom from sin so that we can serve the Lord freely. This film doesn't shy away from the gospel. We don't soft shoe anything. Let's see how they do. I do not envy them because, wow, is it easy to kind of mix and mingle the lines. This blending of church and state, it is, even to articulate it simply and cleanly, I think it's been revealed how difficult that is based on just two words right now, Christian nationalism and all what that means and what that's all about. And speaking of Christian nationalism, CNN is doing a documentary on Christian nationalism. And wow. Here's one that I don't want to see. The documentary aims to examine What the woman producing it said is an ideology rooted in the belief that our country was founded as a Christian nation. Okay, stop. What does that mean? What does that mean? People just have different definitions for that. Quote, and that our laws and institutions should reflect Christian values. Well, we want them to reflect Christian values. The question is, should that be the goal of the church? Is that our mandate? It should there be a blending of Christianity and state? And it's as clear as mud in the minds of most people because it's a historically difficult situation, which is why the people who did the Great Awakening movie, whew, that you were biting off a really big bite of challenging content. One of the experts of the movie, this or the documentary rather, about Christian nationalism, is a visiting scholar at the Georgetown University Center of Faith and Justice. Quote, the memorial of Charlie Kirk was one of the most potent examples of this shift in our culture that we're experiencing right now. Oh, that line just, we're not shifting. You're shifting. And we're saying, stop it. We're speaking up. Stop it. Quit doing that to children. Quit aborting babies. With the filth that you just, the bilge that you produce that is consumed by children. Stop it. We want a country that is based on morals and values that produce human flourishing. Sorry, I digress. This scholar said, the Charlie Kirk Memorial was a potent example of this shift in our culture that we're experiencing right now, where a large segment of American Christians are being activated by these ideas, radicalized by these ideas that say they are the persecuted ones and that they need to stand up for Christian rights. Okay, well, actually, we are the persecuted ones. Ample evidence of that. No other religious group receives more than Christians do. Is there a lot of Jewish hate out there? You betcha. Wrong also. But Christian persecution around the globe? Are you kidding me? Do you think that there's an Islamic organization that talks about the nations that are violent toward Muslims? No, they don't. Why? Well, I guess, you know, I take that back. China. China is, other than that godless communist country, their government at least, but they don't have that concern. Why? Because Christians aren't persecuting Muslims, but it is vice versa. Furthermore, standing up for Christian rights, since when is that wrong? Honestly. So the spokesperson for Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA responded by saying that true radicalism is coming from the political left and was made manifest by the actions of Kirk's alleged assassin, Tyler Robinson, who allegedly had ties to Antifa, and was in a relationship with a transgender-identifying furry. Now, assassinating a human being, that's bad. Can we all agree on that? Some on the left might not be able to stand up and affirm that, but nevertheless, that's bad. Saying that, hey, you're being persecuted and that you'd like to have your rights protected, I don't think that they're nearly the same thing. The fellow from Turning Point said, consider this. CNN does a piece talking about the radicalization of people at Charlie's memorial. Charlie was assassinated by a radical, by somebody that was animated, at least in part by his love affair with somebody that was trans and thinking they're an animal too. And instead of burning down the country like the real radicals did, we held vigils and memorials and people bought Bibles and they got baptized. How is that a bad thing? And then this is the question that I think summarizes it. What are we even talking about here? Said the spokesperson from Turning Point. You can feel it, don't you? It's like, wait, excuse me. You're just totally upside down. Okay. You're going to love this one, Jimmy, because I am the master of illustration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It would be as if I went to Graceland and started to take out Elvis stuff and replace it with Buddy Holly. And then the Elvis people came along and said, excuse me, we don't want you doing that. How dare you change things? How dare you go about the business of wanting us to go back? That's what's going on. That's what's happening in our country. That we are being told that we're causing trouble because we want it what it was. But they leave out the what it was part as if it has always been progressive, liberal, DEI, and woke. It hasn't. So this documentary that's coming out on CNN won't be helpful, certainly. But I do think that this is something that we need to just continue to focus on articulating. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us. This would be one of those issues where I think we all need to say, okay, I kind of got to get this sorted so that I can explain in my thinking and where I'm at. And if I've got my thinking even codified or clarified rather, and that is, what is the relationship between church and state? And please, if you'd be so kind, when you get that sorted, let me know. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.